Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to The Man's Voice here on this Sunday, the last day of March. For those of you who are listening to us, I want to throw out this, tomorrow is April Fool's Day, and it's kind of a day that has gone by the wayside. People don't do April Fool jokes like they used to, but I'm for starting it all up. And so, although you guys who are listening, do something tomorrow to have some fun. I mean, it's been such dread times these last times. Tomorrow is a good time to have some fun with people. Anyway, hello, guys. How are you guys doing? I got Ron and Don on the phone. And
David.
I'm sorry, Ron and Don. Ron and Bruce. Sorry.
Well, geez. Well, thank you. No respect. No, Rodney Dangerfield. Thank you very much.
What's in my mind is, everybody, Bruce is going to take over the show right now. He wanted to.
No. As far as April Fool's Day, I couldn't agree with you more. We need some lightheartedness in this country.
I agree with you. All right, but I want to ask Ron a question because one of the things we've always talked about, and we're probably ad nauseum about talking about, is gun control. And so the only reason I'm bringing that piece up is I saw something that was interesting in that Parkland, the FBI and the investigators have decided to investigate all of the instructors and teachers. They've already got rid of a couple of the vice principals, but now they're on the principal because was not at the school when the Parkland episode happened, and they are curious why he wasn't there and why he wasn't there to do, and when he got there he didn't do enough for the school. Ron, are you down in Florida down there? Are you aware of this?
No, first time I hear of this. I do have to admit I haven't really been watching the news that much lately, but I'm guessing I would have heard about that already, but I haven't.
But what do you think about instructors and teachers at a school that has that happen get investigated? I mean, we don't pay the teachers enough. We have a hard time keeping teachers, good teachers, going in here in the United States. That's a bit much for me, unless to me there is a reason, which my understanding, there's no reason for them. They're doing background checks on everybody. They're just checking to make sure that nobody on the staff or of the school was involved or had anything to do with it. But my understanding is there's no real reason for this. So I don't know why we as the United States have got so much into harassment of the citizens. What do you think there, Bruce?
Oh, I'm glad you asked me, because I think we're spending way too much energy on trying to find out who to blame than trying to find out how to solve the problem. You will find out who to blame and how, to what degree to blame them for something, by trying to solve the problem. You know, trying to spend all your energy on why wasn't the principal there at the moment, or why was this teacher, that doesn't solve the problem. Spend the energy finding out why this happened and try to fix that. We seem to be more concerned about pointing a finger and placing the blame, like that's going to solve, like that's the solution to the problem. It's not. All that's doing is saying, wouldn't you agree, Ron?
Yeah, and I've heard, you know, everybody from the superintendent of schools, the FBI, security personnel that was there at the school at the time. I mean, everybody's pointing fingers, but you're right. I mean, nobody is to the root of the problem, which is, you know, when there were red flags and warning signs that this kid who had mental problems was, you know, going out there and getting a gun, that's when something should have happened. You know, why try to blame the superintendent after the fact? I mean, there's nothing he could have really done to prevent it.
Right. And let me add this. If, let's say, piggyback on your comment, Ron, let's say that someone says, this person was mentally unstable. There were signs that you didn't recognize. I would venture to say, with today's sensitivity, they may have recognized some signs, but we're afraid to act now. Ooh, if I accuse someone, then I'm going to get in trouble for accusing them. No. If you really think there's something wrong, bring it up and defend your position. Don't worry about who's going to point a finger at you for accusing someone, because we're never going to solve the problem unless we do that.
You know,
that's right.
I believe that if the superintendent or the principal would have named anybody and said, we need to investigate this person, because that would have started the converse of the whole thing. There's something wrong with the principal, because now he's blaming students, you know? So
That's right. So you have to, David, then you're exactly right. Then that principal or whoever that is who's pointing the finger better darn well be ready to defend their position. And if we're going to become a society that we can't defend our own position and prove why we're thinking the way we are, then we're going to go on making the same mistakes we're making. We're going to look back and say, why didn't we see this? Well, my guess is a lot of these things have been seen, but we're afraid to act.
Right. But I don't think we know how to act, because what we're doing now is – I'm saying, go ahead.
You're right, David. We may not know how to act. This is a new threat. Even though it's been going on. So then get the smart heads together to figure out how to act with this new enemy or this new problem. You're right. They may not know how to act, but sitting on your hands doesn't solve the problem. That's not the right action. They know that.
Well, my original thought was our system, our school systems have been citizens saying they're just not up to par, a lot of them. Or not up to par. This is just driving them down, because now who wants to be a principal of a school and then you look at going to jail? Or who wants to be a teacher and now they're investigating you for something that you had no control, wasn't even involved in? I mean, it's crazy.
And add to that list, why do you want to be a police officer when you're going to get all kinds of things thrown at you? There is good and bad in every profession. If we do nothing but badmouth the profession, guess what? We're not going to have anybody that wants to be a part of it. And figure out what this country is going to be like if we don't have enough good, qualified law enforcement or great teachers. Excuse my French, we're screwed.
Well, we're already there. I mean, we've been there for quite a while. Maybe not police officers, but we have been. We have been saying that we're suffering for good teachers. And there are a lot of students coming out of college who are very good, but a good student who gets a degree is going to think, I can make money doing something else without having to put up with all that harassment. And then they can't discipline the kids. So a teacher's job nowadays just is not attractive, in my opinion. Don, I see you on the line. What do you think?
I think I'd like to listen more, David. I can't get the topic yet. Go ahead.
All right, sir.
Well, the other thing, David, I'll ask one more thing with the teachers. I don't think any of us would argue all that much about paying a great teacher, and I won't define it any more than that, but a great teacher, a talented teacher, six figures. They deserve it.
I have never understood why we don't pay teachers. I mean,
we don't hold them in enough esteem. We don't hold the most important positions in this country, molding the future of our sons and daughters, high enough. That's why.
And that's a shame. It has been a shame all my life that we haven't. Teachers have always been suffering. We have teachers out there now who have to use their own funds to buy supplies because the schools are and then it's starting at the top. Look who we have for representing the United States as Secretary of Education, who was trying to cut out the Special Olympics, but find out that was a, according now that's coming out, that was a suggestion to her from the White House. And they didn't, the president didn't know that White House told her to do that. And so then he decided to put the money back, but she's taking all the heat for it.
Right.
Yeah, but David, to keep things fair, and not that I like, what is her name?
Betsy DeVos.
Yeah, not that I like her, but to keep things fair, you know, this whole thing with the school systems, because I could tell you, because my brother's girlfriend, and we are both teachers, and long before Betsy even came into the picture, they were still having to buy, you know, school supplies for the kids because the schools didn't have them, you know. So they would have to do that. I mean, this has been going on for years. So I don't even blame the current administration, you know. So there's a problem with the schools in
and also
in this country.
Also, Ron, your phone is getting better again. If you can come closer, please. But go ahead, Bruce.
Also, Mrs. DeVos said, whether it's true or not, I have to assume that it is, that more than two-thirds, if not three-quarters, of the money is privately funded for the Special Olympics. I tend to agree. Let's not take something out of a worthy cause, but it wasn't like they kind of painted it like the whole Special Olympics is going to fold because of that. That's not true.
But I don't know why Special Olympics under the Department of Education anyway. I don't know why it's in that budget because it's not education. It should be under our Olympics, our regular Olympics are not education or anything. So why is special education in the education budget? I think that's wrong.
Can I defend just a little bit of that? I would tend to agree with you, except for one exception. If it teaches our special needs children self-worth, self-confidence, being part of something, then that's some of the best education you can ever give them.
I agree with that, but I do think that makes it not have money or be the component it could be to our special needs people in the United States, because now their budgets are cut and everything. Olympics, they get more money to be better, whereas Special Olympics,
maybe it could be better.
As important.
Maybe. Yeah.
But, John, you were saying something.
Yeah, David, may I ask a question, please?
Yes, please.
Why is DeVos chiming in on special needs anyway when she was appointed to that position because of her financial contributions to 45 with the DeVos Amway connection? Secondly, Bellingwick and supporting mechanism is charter schools, not public schools, but charter schools. Which ones are better, charter schools or public schools?
Charter schools are private, and private money, private funding. And if you're a billionaire like DeVos, I'm sure she's making sure that her teachers are paid because they don't have to fall under the pay structure that our public teachers have to fall under.
That is exactly my point. And she said that philanthropists will pick up the cost for the Olympics. Well, they didn't. Most people that are going to school that are in special need are in public schools, not charter schools.
They won't even allow them in charter schools. They will send them to public schools because they're not equipped unless it's a school designed for special needs, and I don't know where those are. But one of the questions you ask is, why is DeVos in the Special Olympics? Because they put it in that budget, the one that she doesn't defend. You know, I think as we improve the budget for all these things, we never hear about, we only hear about the money being cut for school education increase. And, I've always asked this question, and nobody can give me an answer. The millions and billions of dollars that we are now spending on lottery, that's to go for education, when do the people of the United States get an accounting of that? The report is as secret as Trump's IRS document. How does it get to the education? Or is it a piece of the budget now? Is the education budget actually the money made from lottery? Or is it part of the federal income tax like everybody else? Because that's billions. If they're able to give away billions of dollars, that's that they are making billions of dollars. What do you think, Don?
Well, they took the lottery away from the street. A number of men in the urban communities years ago and said it was to help education. I don't see where that money's going, David.
I don't know. I've never heard one school.
I'll tell you, gentlemen, where it went in Michigan. We got the big, you know what? We were promised years ago when Lotto started here that all that money was going to go towards education, basically increasing the amount of money to education exponentially. But what they neglected to tell us, oh, by the way, all the general fund money that was there, we're taking that out. And it became a bait and switch.
I think that's what they did in Florida, too, if I'm not mistaken. So it's all, you know, smoke and mirrors, really.
So to answer your question, David, it went right back into the general fund for our legislators to use for whatever. It's good, but some
unaccountable. And you know what? You know what, Bruce? And you know what, Bruce? That was a tremendous revenue stream in the urban community.
Oh, I mean, you bet. You bet. Was.
Let me tell you something. I can remember my dad making sure every single day that he played his lottery.
Yep.
I mean, sometimes he would miss going to important 7 o'clock meetings because he had to have his numbers in.
Do you imagine that money would have been added the way they promised us and the other not taken away, where our educational system would be now?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, it's a time for our citizens and our legislators to ask that question. We need to show the public the documentation on where the money is going, but I guess we keep saying this about our elected officials, but obviously they're told not to ask the question. Because nobody knows where that money is going, really. I mean, nobody sees a report.
Well,
we should be able to see a report.
You know what we need to do more of, all of us as good citizens, is not fight, not confront, but in a proper way, a expeditious way, in a calm and straightforward, methodical way, go to, let's say the issue is, where did the money go for education? And we go and we ask our legislators that work for us to explain what happened. Now, the way I understand it, nothing illegal happened. They had the right to do that, but we were not informed. So my point in all this is we need to demand, once you make a decision or while you're making the decision, you explain to me why you're doing that. I want to know why. Defend your position, Mr. Legislator, Mrs. Legislator.
Where do you
sometimes
start?
We take things
where
for
do,
granted.
What's that, Don?
Where do you start?
Yeah, anywhere. Pick a subject. Anywhere.
No, anyone. Well, we should start with the Department of Education. We know that we're not going to get an answer there. Our legislators should be asking that question. Without it. Betsy DeVos knows exactly, because I don't think she has a handle on education. When you're a billionaire, I don't think you really, I think your accounting mentality is not the same as the person, middle to upper class people who don't have billions and want to know where their accounting of the money is. You know, it's like, oh, it's an education, but we don't know that. And it's too bad that when they increase the budgets for all these other departments, we never hear that education was improved by this millions of dollars.
But David, in defense of legislators as well, there are I'd like to think far more on the positive than the negative side that really want to do a good job. I've seen it on the state level. I've been involved a little bit on the state level. But we, as the people that hired them by voting them into office, we have to say, okay, Mrs. Doss, or okay, Mr. or Mrs. Legislator, you made that decision. Why? When? How? Where? Tell me. And create a element of accountability so that they know that if the position is a little unpopular or something, that they're going to be asked by the people that hired them, us, why, when, where, how. We don't do that. We don't ask. We just let it go.
Right. And
we don't ask enough.
I'm sorry, you're listening to the man's voice here as we are glad you joined us. It is now 21 minutes after the hour. So I'm going to bring that to a close and just move on to a little bit more because there are a lot of things to talk about. And today I think we're going to spend a lot of time bringing up subjects that maybe everyone doesn't know about, but that we should, as men, discuss them. And one of them that I want to bring up, I don't know if everyone saw, but it was on the news, this young man who got lost from school, was trying to get to school, got lost or missed the bus or something, went to somebody's house, knocked on the door, and they screamed and hollered and ran, chased him down the street with a shotgun to kill him. And this was a junior school kid. Well, over the weekend, there was another man, a 19-year-old kid, who just moved into an apartment complex. Him and his girlfriend got Uber to bring him home that night, and he knocked on the wrong door. So he you know, knocking on the door because he thought his girlfriend was in there. So the man went on his balcony with a gun and killed him and shot him. And come to find out, he had went to the wrong place. He had just moved in the apartment. And he was looking for his own house, and no one asked the question. And so what I get in this is people are now afraid of people coming to their doors. I remember a time people came to your door, you opened the door, it's so nice, how can we help you? Oh, no, you're at the wrong house, go down there. It's too, you know, we've gone past that, it seems, in the United States. We're now beating up, shooting, or chasing people away from us. I don't think anybody on this panel is that type of a person, but it's like there's a lot of those across the United States because I see these come out all the time. People are running people off their property, scared of each other anymore. Don, why do you think that is?
David, that's the $150,000 question. I just don't know. The world's going crazy, David.
We've come to that conclusion a lot of times. We're living in some very, very strange times, but these are times where we don't even like our neighbors anymore. You know,
it's worse than that. We don't know our neighbors. That's worse than not liking them. We don't even know them anymore.
Right.
I have to say, Dave, can you hear me, David?
Just a little bit louder there, Ron, just a little bit.
Let me walk away. Can you hear me better now?
There you go. That's much better.
Okay. I have to say that, I mean, I think those things do happen, but I think those are the types of people that shouldn't have a gun in the first place, because I can tell you, if I'm home and somebody comes and knocks on my door, I still open the door. I mean, I look first to see who it is. And if, you know, and then I open and I say, you know, how can I help you, whatever. So, and you know, far be it from me, I don't even have a gun, but even if I had a gun, why would I shoot somebody without even knowing? I mean, that whole story is very strange, without knowing, you know, why they're knocking on the door.
Right.
Right. Right.
It's happening a lot. you know, it's happening a lot.
Could we add the component, Ron and Don? What do you think? Can we also add the component of overuse of IT communication is isolating us? We don't even know each other, and we don't talk to each other. We don't personally connect with each other. We're becoming too zombie-like in some ways. And I'm not saying that's the only thing. I'm saying that adds to it also, the disconnection.
You're absolutely right. The social media platforms have taken the place of personal interaction. And
right.
I can send the representative now and not let you meet the real Don.
Oh, heaven forbid for that.
Oh, wow. Yeah. I never thought about that.
We want the
wow.
real Don.
Well, I know his voice. Nobody can change, you know, be that voice.
They can record it and piece it together.
Oh, right. But let me tell you something that I found amazing as we're talking about this subject and the gun thing. But there's a law officer in Colorado, actually Columbine, who is now refusing to enforce the gun law. And he said he would rather go to jail than to have to enforce gun laws. So, and so now the students in Columbine are all taking pictures of themselves and making sure that their images are shared somewhere in case of their death or something. I mean, it's that crazy. It has gotten where law enforcement is saying, if you make gun laws, we are not going to enforce them anyway. And in Columbine, of all places, what do you think, Ron? This officer, he should be terminated, but obviously he's making these statements publicly and not being terminated.
Yeah, I mean, I just think we've gone overboard with the whole gun thing. And like I've said before, because we've talked about it before, we've come to the point of no return. There's no turning back. You know, there's too much personal liberties. You know, that I think in this country sometimes is given way too much, authority over the security and safety of the community at large, you know, and I think there's lots of people that shouldn't have guns. I don't think anybody should have, you know, assault rifles, not even if you're a hunter. I mean, we're the only country in the world, well, not the only country, but out of the civilized Western world, I think we are, that has such liberal gun laws. And then, you know, when something happens, when the next massacre happens, people are alarmed and they're, you know, up in arms and saying, what are we going to do about it? And we're back to square one and nothing ever happens. And, you know, when the shooting at Marjorie Stoneman Douglas happened, I mean, I think hopefully in the next coming election, you know, it's going to have an impact, but that's yet to be seen.
All right. Want to bring up another, and I just want to get the panel's opinion on the guy who tried to assassinate Reagan is now out of jail. John Hinckley is out of jail. He just recently got out. I kind of remember that, I don't know. How do you feel about John Hinckley being out of jail, Don?
You know what, David? That's a
tough question for me to answer. You know, here's a man that took the liberty to shoot the most well-known man in the free world. And how many years did he do?
I think 30, somewhere in there.
30 years. Has he paid his debt to society? I don't know. I just don't know. Is he mentally stable to be back into society? I just don't know. I guess time will tell with this young man Is it going to be under surveillance? I just don't know. We just don't know about this character.
True, but the one thing that we have all said, even on this panel, is that once you pay your dues, if that's what they say you have to do and you do it, then you should be put back in society. But, and here's a case, how do you feel about it? How do you feel about it, Ron?
Well, that's a tough question, like Don said. Who determines, I mean, just being philosophical, who determines how long you have to serve in jail before you've paid your debt, so to speak, to society?
The judge decides by some law.
Yeah, the judge. But the judge is a person like you and me. You know, they're not God. They don't.
Exactly.
I believe in forgiveness and letting people build their lives again. But, you know, I also kind of believe an eye for an eye. You know, I know that's pretty old school thinking, but, then again, you know, there's been people that have been convicted of a crime and served their whole lives, and then it turns out that they weren't really the ones to perpetrate the crime, and then they were set free, and they spent their whole lives in jail. So, who knows?
And also the mental capacity. Has he been rehabilitated mentally? What is going on into his mental ability to stop killing, stop shooting? I mean, for a person to say, "I'm going to shoot the president of the United States," I mean that's kind of borderline. That's kind of borderline on crazy to me.
Yeah, I don't think a person like that is ever going to be fit to be a part of society ever again.
Bruce, you're being quiet. What are your thoughts?
Well, kind of touching on a little bit on what both Don and Ron said. If he's done his time, let's say by our courts, he's done his time and he should be released. I would tend to say he should only if, in doing that time, if you take someone out of society and put them in a prison and you deprive them of the whole social interaction and all the things that, good or bad, but totally different that happen in a prison, isn't it our responsibility to the best of our ability to kind of reintroduce and reacclimate that person instead of just, okay, you're free, go. And the person walks out 30 years later, it's a whole different world and has no feeling on how to act, how to behave to some degree. And then on top of that, if they had some mental issues, if they did or they didn't, what I'm saying is we have to prepare them if they're in a long stay in prison before they're just released. You can't just release them.
But you know something, though? I don't think that the prisons do a great job of rehabilitating a person.
No, they don't.
I think
they don't.
That a person goes into prison and they put that same spirit that they had prior to coming to prison on hold, and it's allowed to grow from a junior to a granddaddy demon. And then, not only that, they learn how to do what they did prior to going into prison and how to be more craftier because they got friends and associates to say, you should have did it this way. So,
and,
I mean, you know.
And, Don, and survival of the fittest, you better be in a group that can help you survive. And you better, as you said, be crafty and cunning. And that's all the teachings that we're trying to unteach. We're trying to make them feel comfortable in being part of the social fabric, not being a gang person or have to survive on their raw wits. We're teaching them, but we're not teaching them the right thing.
Just like we had the prior conversation with an inmate. I always say, whatever you did to get you to where you are, you got to go outside of yourself because your best thinking got you to where you are.
And Don, in your profession, you know where I'm going with this. The ones that you usually hear that have beat the system back so that they can be a quality person when they get out are the ones that have found God.
Exactly. And that's the only way you can really start a rehabilitation process, because you got to go back to the manufacturer, the one that made you.
That's right. That's right.
The product can't fix the product.
The plan maker.
let me say this,
you're right,
because I know we asked some comments last week on invoking the God clause in the guy that was in jail. I did get comments about that interview, but the couple of comments I got was, why do we say that? Because one of them was Jewish, and he's like, why are you using Christian beliefs on people, in jails, and they're not all Christians? So I think when we say God, we mean the person that is God is the same person through all religions. It's just
let me make it a little bit more palatable. Let me say
okay.
The Creator.
Yes.
Will that work?
Yes, I think so for our listeners. That will work.
I choose to call him God, but if they want to call him the Creator, call him the Creator. But the thing is, the same person that made me, he made you.
That's
right. You know, the higher power, the whatever word works for you, it's all the same.
Yeah.
All right. Once again, and you're listening to The Man's Voice, and I see there's 800 and something people listening to the show right now. And if you would like to, give us a call at 646-688-7740. Join the conversation, because I'm going to change a little bit. I'm going to bring up something that I think I found interesting, in that we try to stay. One of the things you'll hear about is we do a lot of conversations about politics, but we also try to cover the total spectrum of things that are going on. But politics seem to be hammering us a lot lately. And one of the things that came to me through media was this document that says Mitch McConnell is now planning to change the rules of confirmation for judges in the House so that he can get more Trump-approved judges confirmed. Now, I don't think the Speaker of the House should be changing the rules to try to get one president, because most of the presidents have a hard time getting Supreme Court judges through when the public don't really like them that much. But do that now, I think, is kind of concerning to me, because right now our president is talking about closing the border, and we'll talk about that in a little while. But I want to talk about what is the power of the Speaker of the House, where he can change the rules to make it to adjust the way of life of American people on his own, because he wants to do it without the constituents of the United States chiming in. Have we allowed our politicians to close that gap so that they can do what they want to do without asking their constituents for approval? What about you, Bruce? What do you think about that?
Well, we've got both of the major player parties, Republicans and Democrats, trying to, instead of spending their energy on what you and I and the fence post and all of us out here that hired them, again, I'll use that phrase, working together to solve problems, instead of doing that, they're going further and further left or right, individualizing, finding ways to get an edge on the other party, both directions. It's getting ridiculous. We also had the Democrats saying that, let's change the whole makeup of the Supreme Court. We'll each have five. You'll have five. We'll pick five in the middle. Where's all that going? We don't need to change those things. There are so many things we're seeing now. You just mentioned one where they're all trying to get the leg up or the edge on the other party. And they take glee in saying, ooh, I beat you. I'm right, you're wrong. Isn't this great? No, the beauty and the excitement should be is when they come together and agree on something. Come on.
Yes, but
sorry.
My point is they're passing laws to give themselves the power, and we as the people are not involved anymore. It's like we don't even know what goes on anymore. It used to be that there were radio and announcements, and we all kind of – my parents bought into what they heard, and they would listen to the radio, and they would hear, and they'd make decisions, and then there would be a vote. That doesn't come up anymore.
To some degree, David, maybe, and I'll put myself out there, maybe we've become, instead of, we went from trusting, at some point we trusted they would do the right thing for us, to become a little too lazy, and like I said, I'll put myself maybe in that category as well, that we just let them do it instead of making them accountable. We're not trying to be adversaries to them, we're just trying to say, hey, whoa, wait a minute, you worked for me. Why did you do that? I want to know why.
But David, you know what really the focal point right now is on the judicial system. Congress and Senate, and then the political system with the president. I think I'd say three different systems, the Congress and Senate, the presidential. But the focus now is on the judicial system, because if I can stack the House with the judges,
right.
It gives me power. And
that's
where the focus is, because that the public is not paying attention to that legislative branch at this moment. They're paying attention to the president, the Senate, and the Congress. But the judicial system, that's where the laws are made. That's where you overturn. That's where you sentence people. That's where you get laws implemented. And we're not paying attention to that area.
Instead of it being an impartial function that it should be, impartial, it's becoming, they're struggling to, I want you in my camp. No, I want you in my camp. And they're becoming, they're trying to make it two parts
political.
Of the government to one. Yes, exactly. I agree with you.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that either side, and Ron, I'll come right back to you, I'll make this statement. I don't think either side should have the power. I think the power should belong to the people, not to our elected officials. Our elected officials are to vote for what their constituents ask them to, but it seems that we have gotten to who is in control, who has the power. Mitch McConnell is now the most powerful person as an elected official. They should be representatives. But anyway, go ahead, Ron. You were going to say something.
Yeah, I was going to say that I don't know where you saw that information, but regarding Mitch McConnell, but I find it hard to believe that one person can change the laws related to picking a Supreme Court justice, because there is a process, that's guaranteed. I guess through the Constitution, I'm not really sure what it is, but I know that there's a process in place, and I guarantee you with somebody like, don't get me wrong for using this word, but, she's pretty ferocious, Nancy Pelosi. I don't think, anything like that would ever happen without, a huge battle.
Well, and I would expect a huge battle. And that just came out through CNN and actually Fox News about this, what he's trying to do. Well, actually not Fox News, CNN and NPR, that he's trying to change. He's going to present plans to change the rules to confirm judges, which he can't. I think you can put it in, and the people are supposed to take it back to their constituents, and it should come up on a vote. That's the piece that's missing. We're not voting for the stuff that's happening. But go ahead, Ron. Anything else?
No. I don't see how that could happen without it going to the people to vote on. I just don't see how that's possible.
And be careful. Be careful what you wish for. Remember when the Democrats created the nuclear approach on decision making? Now that the Republicans are using it against them. Well, the same thing with the courts. Be careful what you do and what you wish for, because it can turn right around and bite you in the hind end if you don't watch out.
You know, his days are numbered anyway. He's throwing seeds out there, and innuendos and so forth, I don't think they'll come to fruition. His days are numbered. I'd be glad when they get to an end, really.
It seems that that most 72% of the people in the United States believe that the Mueller investigation did not exonerate Trump, according to the news UPI. So the converse of that would be that there 30-something percent believe it did, but 70-something percent believe it didn't. I think so. What do you think about this Mueller conversation?
I'll tell you right now, because I said it last week. David, I'm a taxpayer. I pay taxes. My money hired Mueller to do an investigation on behalf of the citizens of the United States of America. He spent two years plus doing that investigation. The report has come out. I want to see the report. I don't need an attorney general or another person telling me what's in the report. I can read. And I don't need you giving me a prelude as to who won and what happened. I don't want to hear it. I want to see it.
What about you, Bruce? What are your thoughts on the Mueller report piece?
Well, I don't disagree with Don. In the ideal world, I'd like to see every word of the document because my money paid for it. However, we've allowed our legislative and our federal government to set up rules to protect certain people so certain things can be done in a positive way, even though things have been twisted around, that says certain things in certain documents will be protected to protect the certain people or certain cases that are ongoing or whatever. But we've gotten a position, the moment you draw one black line on any document, You're not hiding something to protect somebody. You're hiding something that I want to see, and therefore you're being crooked. That's the place we're at now. So it doesn't surprise me at all that anything that is stricken out of that report, and eventually the report will be out there. I don't know in what form. We're going to be suspicious because that's the environment we've created now. It's really bad in that regard.
What about you, Ron?
Well, I'll say the same thing I said last week. It's really a play on words because what the report, what Mueller concluded was that there is no evidence, listen carefully, there is no evidence of collusion, okay? That is not the same as saying that there was no collusion. So there's that doubt out there, you know, and that's why people on both sides, you know, because if you say only 29 or 20-something percent of the people think he was the president was exonerated, that means the majority of people, including a hefty number of Republicans, still have some doubt out there as to what's in the report and, you know, what kind of implications against the president might result from what they found.
But, Ron, let me ask you, add a layer to that. But then I keep hearing, and I don't know the answer, true or false, that collusion isn't an indictable or a federal offense. May not be the right thing to do. May not be something we want to see, but it's not a crime. So
that's
my
correct.
Question,
that's correct.
Yeah. So why are we even talking about that? I may not like it either, but if it's not a crime, what do we do about it?
Well it's like this, though, Bruce. It's like also like this. We got 10 people that were indicted for crimes punished for crimes. Now, they had direct involvement with the Russians, and they were a part of his administration. So what do you mean there was no collusion? Well, I don't understand that.
No, no. What I'm saying, Don, I don't think most people are going to – what they're saying is if they also keep saying in the next breath that collusion isn't a indictable or a criminal offense, you can be mad about it. You can be upset about it. You cannot like it. You can hate it. But what are you going to do about it if it's not something that can be, you know, criminally held against you?
Well, if we were to get him to file his taxes April 15th, like you and I, Bruce, we'll find out.
Well, it will tell us different things, won't it?
It sure will.
But
you think we could get that? If we could get that done, man, I tell you, if we could get that done April 15th, Bruce, I tell you, man, that would put a lot of light on a lot of questions. There's an old saying, I think it was generated during the Watergate administration when the Watergate episode came about. It says, follow the money.
But the thing that's sad now, gentlemen, is we're at a position where we've got too much suspicion of all parties. We're hungry for getting back to just solve problems together, compromise, figure out a way. And we just can't seem to do that at all anymore. It's very disheartening in that regard.
Yeah, I remember talking about this long time ago, too, that, the country, I mean, even in my own family with my brothers, you know, we argue about things like this when before, you know, it was like we may have different points of view or opposing points of view, but we didn't argue about it. And now it's
right
to the point of, you know, we want to kill each other, you know, because I think I'm right and my brother thinks he, yeah, it's horrible.
And how dare you disagree with me?
Yeah.
Yeah. And look what the public environment led by our legislators of both parties, both major parties, is creating in the public. It's not creating something good. It's creating something adversarial.
It is. It really is.
All right, gentlemen. We have about 5 or maybe 7 minutes left to discuss, and there's so many things going on. One of them, for those of you that are into music, and for those of us that are in the age limit brackets that we are, we find certain things, a lot of the artists that were famous for us are now older. I mean, Mick Jagger has been told by his doctor to get off tour because he's too old. I don't expect these things. And I was looking at the other day, it was Diana Ross was having her 72nd birthday, but she was still, she doesn't look that age, but she's, you know, so we all have, you know, as we age older, you know, we still look at music as a big component of ours. And so, but there were so many artists out there who structured, I think it had to do with different record labels coming out there. I think Motown was one of them, but then it was Capitol and Columbia with Frank Sinatra and Sammy Davis and all those, they had structured, and now the structure, because I think when I heard that Nancy Wilson had passed away, I was telling somebody that I think Nancy Wilson was the Whitney Houston of our day, the way that she came out. What do you think, Don? You think I was close with one?
I think you were absolutely right, David, and I don't subscribe to Mick Jagger being told to stop singing, because I think we were all given a gift and a purpose for life, that God did that in his infinite wisdom. We all were created for something and to do something. And I don't believe in retirement, David, because two-thirds of the body is water. And if you stop water from flowing, it begins to stink and decay, and it stops producing its original purpose.
That's deep, Don. That's good. I like that.
Yeah. I don't think I like it.
So you gotta stop moving. You gotta keep moving because you want the water to flow. You gotta keep moving in life because your body is 2/3 water. If it stops, it begins to decay. You can't stop.
So Don, is it good to make waves?
Say it again.
Is it good to make waves?
Yes.
Yes, it is.
It is.
Yes.
That's an element of change.
That's right.
Yes.
And it keeps the water moving.
Yeah. Exactly.
You need to write a book about that, Don.
Yeah, there you go. He does. But let me throw this wrench in there because technology has changed, times have changed, and there are things that we thought about in our generation would say, oh, that can't be possible. But let me tell you, just over the weekend, a Nebraska woman has given birth to her own grandchild. She had her daughter's egg and her son-in-law's sperm put inside of her, and now she has given birth to her grandchild. Now, there are two issues of looking at that, a moral issue and a general issue. And I think it's a good thing for life. If there was a reason why they couldn't, and she wanted to help, I don't see anything wrong with that. I think she did a good thing for her daughter and son-in-law. What do you think, Bruce?
Part of me says yeah, because it's within unit, and it was done probably, I'm going to guess the little bit you told me, for loving reasons.
Yes.
But another part of me, I'm going to be totally honest, kind of goes, ooh. And that's not an indictment of what she did. It's just something we haven't heard of and something we haven't seen and something we haven't felt, but we don't understand what that family's going through either.
You know, I know that I've met several women who had to have, someone else do that, but it's usually not your relatives. So I think
right.
This opened up a door. I think this opened up a door, and I am not sure I want to see where the door goes. I think it was a good thing for the reason that she did it this one time, but I would say, okay, now that's it. I'm done.
Yeah.
What do you think,
Don?
You
know that. That's not the end.
I don't have a comment, David.
Yes, you do. You're not going to share it.
Let me ask you this, Don. Do you think it is against religion to what she did?
I don't know. I don't know. I'm not going to incriminate myself.
Let me have Ron. What are your thoughts?
Well, my first reaction was, oh, my God, this is just so wrong. But like Bruce said, I don't know what the family's going through, so who am I to judge? I wouldn't personally do it. I'll leave it at that.
Well, I hope you couldn't.
Yeah, that's what I think. Ron, I hope you can't.
Well, we're down to end of the show. We're glad that you guys have listened to us. But remember, tomorrow's April Fool's Day. I think the panel here thinks that everyone should go out and bring back April Fool's Day the way it should be played, because we went through a hell of a year. Bruce?
Yes, we did. And all of you have a great week, and we'll look forward to seeing you, hearing you again next week.
Don't do anything off the wall. Ron, go ahead.
I'm gonna show up at work tomorrow morning with my resignation letter.
And with 1 minute, 33 seconds to go, Michigan State 63, Duke 66. Duke 66, 63. Go State!
All right, you guys.
Have a great week.
Come on,
everyone.
Spartans, let's go, Spartans.
Yeah, let's go, Spartans. Take care, guys.
Take care.
Have a great week.